Thursday, 9th of August, Rabbi Daniel Mann, Parsha Perspectives.
Actually, Parsha 3. You ever have one of those days? You wake up and you have a presentation you're supposed to make at work, big business meeting. You wake up in the morning and you look at your alarm clock and you realize you made a mistake the night before. You set it for PM instead of for AM. Okay. So you get up, you go running, you dive in, you catch up real quick. You run out the door, you put the key in the car. It doesn't start. Right, okay, good. What do you do? So you have to take the tube. You take the tube, you run down to the tube.
Underground.
And get stuck in the tunnel, just waiting and waiting. Finally, you get to work. Okay, hopefully they didn't start the meeting yet. You reach into your pocket and you say, oh, I left my ID at home. Right, so embarrassingly, they're in the middle of a meeting. You have to call up, ring your secretary. She has to come down, let you through security. It's a whole mess. You come in. And that's just the beginning of the day. You have a whole day ahead of you to look forward to. Okay. Anyway, this brings up the question that why do things go well, and why sometimes they don't go well? I don't know if we're going to answer it completely, but in a general sense, we'll start. Certainly, if anybody has a particularly bad day, I'm not going to tell you why you had a bad day, but as a general philosophical discussion, perhaps we can talk about why sometimes things go good and sometimes not. 11th Animamin, right, for 13 fundamentals of faith, number 11 by the Rambam, is Animamin B'Rinu Shlema, we believe with a perfect faith, She'abar Yitzvah Shemal, the one above, Gan Motay V'Shem Mitzvot, that he rewards those that heed his mitzvot, U'manish La'ayim Mitzvot, and he punishes those that transgress. Okay, so we have the basic concept of reward and punishment. Come to this week's Parsha, Re'anach Inasi Nefnecha Miyam Bracha V'Kola, today I'm giving before you Bracha V'Kola, blessing and curses. So what's the bracha? If you listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, that I'm commanding to you today, if you listen, then it's bracha. Things go well, you wake up on time, the car starts, the tube doesn't get stuck, everything's fantastic. But God forbid the curse, that's in Vasishmu. If you don't listen, a mitzvah Hashem Elokeichem, so you have kola. So it would seem a fairly open and shut case, that what determines whether it's a good day or a bad day, did you do mitzvahs? Did you do mitzvahs before? Right? If you do mitzvahs before, so you get bracha. And if chas v'shalom, somebody was more interested in averus, then just call us. And this is a theme that repeats itself again and again throughout the Torah. We have it in Parshas Pechukosai. We have in the Shema that we say twice a day, the second paragraph, it says, v'hayim shema tishmu. If you listen, then al mitzvosai to my mitzvot. So then, in the fact, then you're going to get the rain. You're going to eat. It's going to be satisfying. Everything's going to be great. But you got to watch, because if not, then there's not going to be rain. And you fields won't produce. So it would seem, we're going to see it's not so simple, but it would seem that if some things are going good, it must be we're doing mitzvahs, and if not, not. So what would be in the following scenario? We have a scenario like this. You have two countries at war. One country is famous for its chesed and for its mitzvahs and for all sorts of good things. And the other country is more comparable perhaps to Sodom of old. They're known for its midas achzorius, for being stingy, right? They're not really known for their charitable deeds. And they have a war, one with the other. So one would think, Habracha, the one that does mitzvahs, they get the bracha. Vaklala, the one that does the veris, they're the ones that are destined to lose. What would be if it's not a war of two countries, but two people? And one person is a totally righteous person, a tzaddik gomer. But the other one, he's a rasha gomer, he's totally wicked, right? And you put the two together, and then you have to go take odds who's going to win, right? So you're going to place your bets. So according to this principle, the way we just said now, we should imagine the tzaddik gomer is going to win because he has all the brachas coming with him, and the wicked one has the kolos. Certainly, if the tzaddik received an assurance from the one above, he told him, I'm going to be with you, then certainly we would think it's an open and shut case. But we're going to see, it's not so simple. Says the Bereishis Rabbah, the Rechim Pinchas B'Shem Rabbi Reuben, there were two people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu assured them. He gave them assurances, but nevertheless, they were scared anyways. They were frightened anyways. Who are these two people? HaBachar Sheba Avas U'Bachar Sheba Nevi'im, the best of the Avas, or the chosen of the Avas, of B'char Sheneviim, and of the prophets. Who is the B'char Sheba Avas? That's Yaakov. Shinema, it says, Yaakov B'char Lo Yiro Hashem, Hashem's chosen. So Hashem told Yaakov, Anochi Imach, Hinei Anochi Imach, I'm with you. Don't worry. But Vesalius, it says, but Yir Yaakov, when it came to the fight between Esav and Yaakov, Yir Yaakov, Yaakov was scared. Right? And the same thing we find in Moshe, Hashem said, Eyeimach, Moshe was the Avan of Yim, right? And it, but nevertheless, and Hashem told him, I'm going to be with you. But in the end, when he had a fight with Og, we see that he must have been scared because Hashem calmed him down. He said, V'yam Hashem HaMoshe, Al Tiraso, don't worry about him. It's going to work out. So you see that these two people, they both had assurances. They both had assurances. But nevertheless, they were scared. Okay. Now, Yaakov was scared of Esav. Why? Because Esav had 400 men. Says the Devar Kringlas, if you look in the Medrash, you'll see that Yaakov had far superior artillery, and he had far superior numbers. He had much greater numbers. Why? Because Esav had 400. 400. What's 400 men? But Yaakov had much more. His numbers that he had were 600,000. And what did he have? He had Malachim. That's the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash says, Samach Riva Malachim Hayuchalim Lefnei Yaakov Avinu Bechnisas Al Eretz. Yaakov had 600,000 angels. They did his bidding. Right? So Esav's coming with his 400 men. But Yaakov totally outnumbered him with far superior strength. Some say Kifchaf Riva maybe. Right? Certainly Yaakov outnumbered him. He shouldn't have been scared on a natural level. It says just his sheepdogs, the shepherd dogs, though, that protected his flocks, he had 600,000 of those. But you can imagine how many shepherds he had. So why was Yaakov scared? So the Medrash tells us he was scared. Why? Because Esav had two mitzvahs. Two mitzvahs. Which two mitzvahs? While Yaakov was away, so Esav was living in Eretz Yisrael, so he had the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, and Yaakov didn't have the mitzvah at that time. So Esav was up on Yaakov on Eretz Yisrael. And when Yaakov was away, Esav was involved in honoring his parents, Kibbutz Avim, which was a fantastic mitzvah, which Esav kept in an extraordinary manner. And Yaakov didn't have that, so there were two mitzvahs that Esav had. Oh, what about Og? Why was Moshe scared of Og? It's true, he was a giant, but there's a reason why he was scared. Because Og was an exceedingly old person. He dates back to the times of Avraham Avinu, some say he dates back to the times of Noach. No, it was an exceedingly, exceedingly old. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, if Og is that old, it must be he has a schus to keep him going. And maybe that schus will protect him in the war also. Nusa, what was that schus? So you probably all know, because it says that the nephew of Avraham was captured in a war. Vayichlus Lot, ben Achi Avraham, they took Lot. So Vayava Apollos came, the refugee. Who was the refugee? Says Rashi, Og, and told Avraham that Yagi the Avram Avri, that his nephew was captured, and Avram went to fought a war on behalf of Lot. So because of the schus that he told Avram about the war in which his nephew was captured, that's why he lived so long, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was scared. Especially with the coin glass. It's very schwer. It's very schwer. You know, if Yaakov he says, okay, Esav had two mitzvahs. But when Yaakov approached Esav, he said, Tarek mitzvah shemarati, I have 613. So 613 minus 2 is 611. He's up by 611. Why is he so scared about Esav's two mitzvahs? And Yaakov was a Navi. He was in a tremendous madrega. Esav had nowhere near the Kedusha, the Sikkus of Yaakov Avinu. Just as learning Torah, which is Tama Torah Keneged Kulam, he learned in Shein Be'Evah and Yeshiva for 14 years, it says he didn't lie down to sleep. He never laid down on a bed to go to sleep. His mother was so fantastic, he never had to pause. So why was Yaakov concerned? Certainly he was no pauper when it came to mitzvahs. Certainly he had many, many, many more schusim, much greater schusim than Esav. Why was he concerned? Because Esav had two measly mitzvahs. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he says that's even more schwer. First of all, Moshe was the Av HaNaviim. There was no greater prophet than Moshe. He was the father of all the Av HaNaviim. He took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. He's the one that went up on Har Sinai for 40 days. He didn't eat or drink. He brought the Torah down from a Kodesh Baruch from himself to call Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu had tremendous, tremendous chosen. But what was he scared of? He was scared of the schus of Og. He says, what type of schus is that? You don't even know if it's a mitzvah or a nevera. It says it's a mitzvah, but I don't know. It says, Rashi says, why did he come to Avram? You think it's because he had altruistic reasons? No, nothing of the sort. He was hoping Avram would go run to war and Avram would get killed. So here you have, so what was he trying to do? He's trying to kill Avram. A mitzvah. He's trying to kill Avram. And why did he want to kill Avram? Also wasn't such a good reason. He wanted to kill Avram because he was hoping to get Sarah. I don't know how. I don't know who was going to read the shidduch, right? But somehow or another, he thought he was going to, Avram will get killed and he's going to get Sarah. Maybe, bakakach, I don't know. But what type of schus is that? That's a mitzvah. Right? Because of that measly little mitzvah that Og did, that his kavanah was totally the shame of Eva, really. Right? Because of that mitzvah, Moshe was scared. It's very schwer. Very schwer. So there's a Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. Rambam says, "Hatayva hatzuna laTzadikim hi chayayim haba." Hilchas Tshuva Parakas. It says, "Where do you get the reward?" Not like what we said before. Before we said reward was in this world. No, that's a mistake. Hatayva hatzuna laTzadikim. Where is the reward? Chayayim haba. And that's the schar, the reward for Tzadikim. And Piran, Rishayim, how are Rishayim punished? What's the punishment for Rishayim? That they don't get Olam Haba. That's called Kares, Yamusu. And that's the end of them, Lo Aleinu, and there's no future. It's based on the Gemara Kedushin. The Man D'Yomer is Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says famous words, Schayim Mitzvah Bahai Amaleka. You want reward for a mitzvah? Bahai Amaleka. You don't find it in this world, that's not where you find it. What's Rabbi Yaakov's reasoning? He says like this. He says, because there were two mitzvahs that it says next to them, Arichas Yamin. One mitzvah we mentioned already is Kibbutz Avim, honoring one's parents. So it says, Leman Yerichon Yumecha, and said that you'll have long days. And then the other one is sending Shluach HaKan, sending away the mother bird, and you take the children for yourself. So it says also, Harachta Yamin, you'll have long days. So one would think if somebody keeps these mitzvahs, ooh, he's going to live a long life, almost like Oik. So what happened? Somebody, a father told his son to go get him the birds from up on top. The son climbed up. He sent away the mother bird. The son was mekayim two mitzvahs. He was mekayim the mitzvah of kibud avim. He did what his father wanted. And he was mekayim the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. So the chayyur is entitled to a double long life. But on the way down, he fell and he was nifter. Lo aleinu. So Rabbi Yaakov says, it must be that we have to examine the pasuk. When it says, arichas yamim, it doesn't mean long days here in this world, because this world really isn't so long. It's only Kofkaf years, perhaps. But what's it referring to? It's referring to the Arlam Shekulo Yarach. It's referring to the world in which of eternal life, right? When our days are extra long or super long. And when it's referring to the Schar Elam Abba, and this is the principle of Rabbi Yaakov, Schar Mitzvah Bahai Alma Leka. Gemara says that had Acher learned like Yaakov, he would have remained from. Acher was a Tana who left the path of Judaism, and some say because he saw the same type of story as Reb Yaakov. I think Reb Yaakov was even a descendant of his, if I'm not mistaken. And some say because he saw the tongue of Chutzpitz HaMeturgman that was being dragged through the streets by a Davar Acher, by a Chazer. And because of that, he went off the Derech. But had he realized what Reb Yaakov dash and Schar Mitzvah Bahai Amaleka, it would have been okay. Okay. So now we have two questions here. The first question we had was what we asked before. It was the question we asked before, that why were Moshe and Yaakov scared? Right? That was one question we said. They had many, many more mitzvahs than Og and Esav. Why is it that they're scared of the few mitzvahs of Og and Esav, especially since those mitzvahs weren't so glorious in themselves? Second question we have here is this. We started off this year saying, I'm giving before you bracha and klala. If you do mitzvahs, it's going to rain. Shavuot, Tishmuv, and Sakiv, everything, all the Taiva Anonim is there. The blessing in this world is dependent on mitzvahs. And the klala lo aleinu is if you do Averis. But now we have a Rambam, we have a Yaakov in the Gemara who seems to say the opposite. He seems to say, no, you don't get chai, you don't get reward in this world, you got to be patient, it's coming in the next world. What's the Rambam going to do with the pasuk in this week's parsha that I'm giving before you, bracha and klala? How are we going to do this? If I'm not mistaken, the Mashah says, we're not going to spend time on the Mashah. There's a few answers. I think the Mashah says it depends whether you're talking about a Yachid or a Rabbim. A Yachid, a person's coming on his own merits, so then Schar Mitzvah Bahaya Amaleka. If he's coming with the Schutz HaRabbim, so then there'll be bracha in this world too. That's the Mashah's answer. But we're going to take another approach. Truth is, there's a Medrash, you can look it up, I'm only going to say it briefly. But the truth is that this question was really asked a long time before. The question was asked by none other than Esav, Uncle Esav. See, when apparently Yaakov, it was understood, was the one that was going to get Olam Haba. And Yaakov was returning from the house of love, and he encounters Esav. And Esav looks at Yaakov, and Yaakov had already sent him numerous presents. He was a big gevir. And he looks at Yaakov, and he sees Kanei Gahara, he has a nice family, Banim Ubanos. And not only that, but he has avad mishpachas, he has servants and maids to do his bidding. And he says to Yaakov, this isn't for you. You're supposed to get Adam Haba, you're supposed to get the world to come. Where do you come to these worldly possessions? Where do you come to these things? So Yaakov said, these are asher chanan elokim esavdecha, this is a present that Hashem gave me. It says Esav tried to negotiate and Yaakov delayed. But it's really the question of Esav. That Yaakov's lot, so to speak, is Olam Haba, and nevertheless we find that Yaakov, at one point, he was prosperous, he had Olam Hazeh, at least it seemed that way to Esav. So the truth is, this question is asked by the Rambam himself. The Rambam in the next parak, parak tests, he says, now that we know that mitzvahs are paid off in the next world, so what do we do with all the different times it says in the Torah that if you listen to me, you're going to get good, and if you don't listen to me, it's going to be otherwise. The Rambam himself asks, how do we understand that? Tzchar mitzvah b'hel malekah, and should have nothing to do with this world. Says the Rambam, those psukim are not referring to tzchar. But what it means is like this. Let's take a marshal. Let's say Hashem, somebody goes to business. And Hashem helps the guy along, and he does okay. He's not wealthy, but okay, he makes a living, and he even puts away a little bit for savings for a rainy day. So now he goes and he gives tzedakah with his money, and he does chesed with his money, and he uses his money so that he has a menuchas nefesh, so he's able to be chavei itim l'tara. So then Hashem says, this is a person who knows he's a good investment. I see when I put money in this person, I get good returns. He does mitzvahs. So Hashem says, I'll invest in him further. I'm going to give him more, right? And I'll give him an opportunity to do even more tzedakah, so he says it's the same thing. Whenever a person does mitzvahs, Hashem says, this is a person who's a good investment. I'm going to give him the opportunity to do more. So therefore, I'm not going to disturb his life. I'm going to give him peace and quiet. When he sits down to open up the Gemara, he'll have a clear head. He'll be able to learn. He won't be full of daggers how he's going to support his kid. And this way, I'll get more mitzvahs on the person. So the taiva and agam hazeh, the good in this world that a person gets for mitzvahs, is not reward. What it is an opportunity to do more mitzvahs. Hashem says, okay, you're in this world to do mitzvahs. Here's some money, here's some menuchas and nefesh, go take some time, go take the time and do mitzvahs with them. It's a principle of tzchar mitzvah, with one, after one mitzvah. You get another. But if chas v'shalom, a person is the opposite. If a person takes the resources that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him and he uses it l'ra, he takes the time that he has and he uses it for batala, he uses it for averus, and he takes the money and instead of using it to be kind, adraba, he uses it to be powerful and to oppress other people, right, to show off his strength. So then on the contrary, Hashem says, this is a person who's not really a good investment, and he doesn't deserve mitzvahs either. He's not deserving to give a mitzvah, and he takes away the opportunity to do the mitzvahs. Oh. Says the Rambam, but that's really interesting Rambam. The Rambam says, we wait for the Mashiach. Why do we wait for Mashiach? Says the Rambam, the reason why we wait for Mashiach is because this way we'll have rest from different governments, and we'll have time to sit down and study Torah. Our minds will be free, and we'll be able to learn. That's the Rambam. Why we say every day we're Chakal Hashem Chol Yom Shiva. We want Mashiach to come. Why? Because we'll have peace of mind. We won't be oppressed. We'll have peace of mind. We'll be able to learn without daggers. Okay, so we see that for a tzaddik, a person who's a tzaddik, the ultimate reward is in the world to come. Yeah, but there's an inyan of B'derech Shan Retaleich Malichan Asav, that's Chah Mitzvah Mitzvah, that in this world we're going to give him the opportunity to do more mitzvahs. But what about a Rasha? A Rasha, he doesn't have the world to come. So what happens if a Rasha does a mitzvah? What's going to be then? What's going to be if a Rasha does a mitzvah? So that we have a Ramchal. Ramchal says like this. He says, and this is probably simple to you all. He says, let's say we have to decide if somebody's a tzaddik or rasha. So let's say somebody has 100 mitzvahs and 5 averus. So you might think, you do 100 minus 5 is 95. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes him for 95. He says, no, it doesn't work that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a reward or a punishment for every action that he did. So it's 105 actions that we have to pay him for. 100 for the mitzvahs and 5 for the averus. So now we have to decide if somebody gets Olam Haba. So what we do is we look at majority. It's not clear what he means by the majority, but we'll use that lashon, right? So if somebody is a tzaddik and he deserves Olam Haba, his main drive is to do mitzvahs, so he gets Olam Haba. What do you do with those averas? What do you do with those averas that are left over? So he says, so that we're going to pay off the miyas, the minority that we pay off in this world, right? The Mabit explains further, because you have to look at this person. What drives this person? What drives this person is his motivations chiefly are spiritual motivations, altruistic. He wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Now, when he does an Aveira, right, it's not the pshat that he wants to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but what he wants is, he fell in, right, the Yetzer Hara, he made a mistake, he was a shogeg, or he was teaching Ayesa, the Yisahara persuaded him, but it wasn't the real Avera that he's going out to rebel against the Kodesh Baruch. It was a weak Avera, so to speak. So because of that, it's not an Avera that's paid off with a Shver punishment, but it's paid off in this world. What about the Rasha? What about the Rasha? So they say the same thing. The Rasha is Alpi Rav HaMaisa. The Rasha we pay off also. And because of that, he doesn't get Olam Haba. A Rasha is not entitled to Olam Haba because he's Rav Averas. The majority of his actions are Averas. So where do we pay off his mitzvahs? So we say like this. His mitzvahs were Shelo Lishma. Because what drives this person? What drives this person is his drive for Gashmias, his drive for this world. If he happened to do an Avera, it probably was Shelo Lishma, it was incidental. Since his motivation for, I'm sorry, if he happened to do a mitzvah, it was Shelo Lishma. So since his motivation for doing the mitzvah was Shelo Lishma, so therefore the reward that he gets is also only this world, is also only a physical reward. So it comes out that a Rasha doesn't get Schar and Anam above the next world, but because the small mitzvah that he did, and because it was a mitzvah for the bad intentions, it only deserves reward in this world. Okay. Says Rav Krenglass like this. He says, let's look at the fight between, let's go through our review. Right, the first question, one question we asked was, what are all the brachas for us, cars in the next world? The answer to that, we said, is that the reward of this world isn't really reward, it's just an opportunity to do mitzvahs. Then we said, why were Moshe and Yaakov scared? He says, it's very, very easy. We asked the question, Moshe and Yaakov have many mitzvahs. He says, yeah, they have many mitzvahs, but they don't get paid for the mitzvahs here now. When they get to have a fight, right, they want to cash in on their mitzvahs, they can't. Schar mitzvah b'haya amaleka. The reward for their mitzvahs, for Moshe and Yaakov, they did it with the purest of intentions. The reward for their mitzvahs is Olam Haba. The most they could do is say, you know what, maybe I can get a fringe benefit. Maybe give me a chesed and give me the opportunity to do more mitzvahs. But the reward, even if they don't get chas v'shalom, they don't get paid now, right? Even if they were to lose the fight with Esav, but the reward, they're not. There's no insult to justice. There's no crime, because they're going to get paid in Olam Haba. Oh, then Esav, on the other hand, is a totally different story. They only had two mitzvahs. They didn't have anything else. And therefore, they don't get Olam Haba. They're not going to get Olam Haba. And their mitzvahs were weak mitzvahs. They were done with the wrong intentions. And therefore, where do they have to be paid off? They have to be paid off here. They can't be paid off anyplace else. Right? There's no place else. So now it's a question of justice. They say, where's the justice? We did our mitzvahs. We need to be protected here and now. Don't tell me we're going to get it later. There is no later for them. Right? So now, Moshe and Yaakov were very, very scared. When it comes to a battle in Olam Hazeh between Moshe and Yaakov against Og and Esav, it's a tremendous fight because Moshe and Yaakov are coming with no chosim, in a sense. Right? Because all their mitzvahs, the reward is Olam Haba. But Og and Esav, to the contrary, they have one or two mitzvahs, but those mitzvahs, there's no other place to pay but here and now. And that's why Moshe and Yaakov were scared. Why do they win? Perhaps they say, the Maisa, why did they win? Why isn't it a good taita? I don't know. Somebody once asked me this. They said, what do you mean? Elg and Esav are right. They should have won. Right? I don't know the answer. I didn't see it in Rav Krenglass, but I imagine that to a certain degree, by engaging in the fight, they were forfeiting their rights to these chosim. Right? Who told them to go fight with Yaakov? Right? You know, you put yourself in a makam sakana, you jump off the roof. So what do you expect? Right? So here, you're going to fight with Yaakov. You're putting yourself in a makam sakana. You shouldn't have done it. It's their own fault.
Paid
us.
Yeah, he lived for many years.
Yeah. August paid also. That's correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this is just a suggestion. It's loosely based. It's loosely based on the Tisus and Kedushin, but it's not really faithful to the Tisus. But we just had two ideas that clashed in two different people. Right? Yaakov says I should win an Olam Hazeh because of the Cheshbon that I need the opportunity to do mitzvahs. Right, and sometimes Tayyib and Olam Hazeh good in this world comes simply as a means of doing more mitzvahs. And Esav says, no, I have a different reason to get Tayyib and Olam Hazeh because I have to get my reward for my mitzvahs in this world. And we have these two cheshbonos that they clash with each other. So sometimes these types of cheshbonos can clash, not exactly, but similar cheshbonos can clash not by two people, but within the same person himself. One person himself, what do you mean? Because he can have a yid who he did many, many mitzvahs. Right, but on the other hand, like anybody, like most people. He has some mitzvahs to deal with also, unfortunately. So now he did many mitzvahs. So for those mitzvahs, Hashem says, we have a cheshbon. We have to give him peace of mind. We have to give him resources. We have to give him the opportunity to accomplish more mitzvahs. He deserves it in a sense. But on the other hand, he has all these avarice. We got to pay him off too. Why? Because we don't want him to have to deal with it when it comes to the next world, right? So we have a struggle between these two cheshbonis. So it's Abdina Le Yom Tova of a young dish, meaning most of the days he has a good life. Most of the days he's relaxed. The alarm clock rings on time. The car starts. The tube goes. Everything is. He has his ID. Everything goes okay. Why? Because he needs peace of mind so that when he sits down in front of the Gemara, it'll work. He'll be able to understand it. He needs things to work well for him so that he could do his mitzvah. So that when he davens, he could think. But we still have to pay him for the averus. So every day it's Avdin and Le'yayin Bish, not every day, but once in a while it's Avdin and Le'yayin Bish, once in a while they have to give him one of those days because it's a cheshbon to pay up for his averus too. But after they pay him up, so he goes back to the regular cheshbon that he has a peaceful time. Okay. Truth is, there are many, many factors that can affect a person in this world, and we just have a few minutes, so we're going to briefly run through just a few of them. Okay? One factor is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you serum, he can punish a person, not so much as a punishment, but as in his arrow to arouse us to do tshuva, a wake-up call. Right? So in other words, really, there's three levels. Hashem prefers lo yechtakal, he shouldn't sin at all. If he sinned, so we have to arouse him, we have to bring it to his attention that he sinned, so therefore he'll examine his actions, he'll sit down at night and go through what he does during the day, and therefore he'll be able to do tshuva. If chas v'shalom that doesn't work, then there's yisurim that he gets punishment to cleanse him from his averus. Those are more severe. Another cheshbon, we know that could affect a person. This could be more for the next world, but also not so much for this world. Is we have a principle of arvus. I call you so arvus themselves that each Jew is responsible for another. Now it's interesting. Most people say, you know why he's responsible? Because he has a mitzvah of reproof. He has a mitzvah to give tachacha. And if he didn't give tachacha, so he's all responsible because he could have prevented the aveira. But it's not so simple, because I think the Medrash says that if it's true by aveiras, it's kosh came by mitzvahs. It's certainly true that there's arvus by mitzvahs. How could it be arvus by mitzvahs? There's no reproof, right? So to that, the Reb Aaron and the Ramchal, they say also that the reason is because Hashem bound all the neshamas together. Each neshama of a Jew is related, it's interconnected to the neshama of another Jew. And therefore it's possible that one yid does a mitzvah, he can affect the schar of another yid. Another cheshbon is that sometimes Hashem gives tzaras to a tzaddik, but not so much because the tzaddik needs cleansing, but it's a kapara, it's an atonement for his entire generation. A bigger cheshbon than this is sometimes there could be so many avarice in the world, not just from one generation, but there could be an accumulation of debt. Meaning, over the generations, each dar did more avarice, and what they did is they introduced an impurity, a certain filth, to the world, and therefore the Kedusha can't penetrate the world so well, and Bracha can't penetrate the world so well, because there's just an accumulation of, so to speak, cholesterol, of build-up, of problems. And what Hashem does is that once in a while he finds a tzaddik, and if he gives Yisurah to the tzaddik, it cleanses not just the tzaddik, and not just for his generation, but it cleanses the world from an accumulation of many daras. And he says, because I don't understand this, but it says the Midas Hadin is appeased to punish a tzaddik who doesn't deserve, much more so than to people that actually did chatam. So it takes less punishment in a sense, less pain if it's directed at a tzaddik than if it's directed at others. My Rosh Hashiva used to sometimes suggest that this could be one of the ways to understand the Holocaust. One of the ways to understand the Holocaust is not so much that it was because that particular generation did something wrong, but to the contrary, there was an accumulation of debt over the years, and it had to be cleansed. And Taka, there was a bracha. We see that there was in some areas there was a bracha by Klal Yisrael. A few years later, they got Eretz Yisrael. There's a rebuild of yeshivas. There's a Baal Tshuva movement, and it could be to a certain degree it's a result of the world having been cleansed by that time. Yilu Ratzon, we Taka should do mitzvahs. We Taka shouldn't have to deal with this. It should be an academic question why people have Yisrael. We should Taka all be Zaycha to brachas.